You're listening to In the Moment
with Liv and Bix. Hey, it's Liv
and Bix, and you're listening to In the Moment with Liv and Bix, a podcast for unsuccessful actors
by unsuccessful actors.
And today we have a very special guest for ourselves, for all of you out there, and we are super, super excited to have him. We've been teasing it for weeks, and he's finally here. So, Liv, what do you say we just hop right into it?
Yes, please welcome Vass Saranga.
Hello, thank you so much for coming on the pod. We have been teasing you. We have been chatting about you in the past couple weeks episodes.
I have not heard any of this. And I know there's like a release schedule and stuff, but I'm like, I'll believe it when I hear it.
It's there.
Well, here you are. It's there. We've been chatting about you nonstop. So thank you so much for coming on today. We've been pumped.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Liv and Bix, for having me. And I'll tell you something. I've wanted to be on this pod for a long time, and I just tell the kids out there, dreams can come true.
Yes.
You set your mind to something, and you bother.
And it will happen. And
you manifested your way onto the podcast. You could do anything. So could you tell our listeners maybe a little bit about yourself, what you do, what just a little introduction?
My name is Vass Saranga. I am a working actor and an acting coach. I have a couple other hyphenates that I don't feature as forward as I used to, because acting and acting coaching are like the biggest things in my sphere and take almost all my focus and energy. And that's where my love and passion is. And I'm not going to promote the series I'm on and stuff because of the stuff that's going on, even though it's technically, it's a Canadian thing. It's under Canadian contract. It's not SAG-AFTRA, but in solidarity. It's called You're My Hero. I'm a series regular, but I'm not going to talk about that show or any of that business. But that's where I'm coming from as an actor. I've worked a lot in comedy and in drama across other genres too. And several years ago, I decided to become an acting coach in tandem with my acting career. And I'd love to talk more about that.
Yeah. Can I ask, like, what inspired you to start the online actor studio? What inspired you to want to help other actors, regardless of where they are in their career? Can you share some light on that?
If you'd asked me this a couple of years ago, I probably would have had, like, you know, non-selfish answer. I would have had something prepared, like to help people achieve their dreams or to unleash the artist within. But I've done a lot of like pondering work on human behavior and things like that. And I'm like completely okay with saying I became an acting coach so that I could figure out acting. I was like training as an actor, class hopping, doing all this kind of crazy stuff for years and years and years. And then I started working as an actor. And those two things started to kind of collide and actually felt like almost like two opposite polar ends of a spectrum. What I was learning versus what I had to do. And I would keep going back to books and classes. And I had some amazing coaches that unlocked certain things. And you'll hear me use that word a lot. But at the end of the day, every time I went back to craft, it felt like the work was the opposite of that. And I just couldn't figure it out, at least for me. And for some other people that I was talking to. So I was like, you know what? I need to like create my own acting technique. And you'll hear people say this, like, you know, tools in your toolkit and all that kind of stuff. And I started to just take that and roll with that further. And it sort of became this thing of like, you know, reading for people, helping them with self-tapes, having my own little setup, like literally like taking a backdrop and a thing to someone's house, like driving it there, setting it up, doing that whole thing, like a moving studio, like Toronto, LA, that kind of thing. And then eventually I started to realize, I don't know what it was. I think I just coached a couple of people at the same time. And I was like, oh, I really like doing group training. I like doing group classes. Yeah. It's not all about the audition for me. It's about maybe it's more than the audition.
Absolutely. There's so much that comes before the audition, right? So like so much of our learning. And I like that you brought up like kind of with working with other people. Like, I feel like that's training in itself. And that's why they say if you're not getting auditions, like offer to help reach sides with other people, offer to help with an audition, because you're not just helping them, you're helping yourself. And you're both learning something in that moment too. So I like that you kind of like brought that up too. So you can get the training and it doesn't always have to be in a formal acting setting. You can get that training by also helping other people with their auditions. You're going to take something away from that.
Absolutely. Well. I feel like I learned more doing that for sure.
Yeah. And it's funny, Liv, you said like in a formal way.
Yeah.
Because right before we started recording, Liv and I were chatting a little bit about, we did a semi-private class with Vass last night and we were just talking about it. And I was saying how what I love so much about coaching with you is it doesn't feel formal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like I'm going to this big scary class with this big scary teacher. It feels like I'm just going to hang out with my friends and act and like explore and play and have fun. And usually like before a class or before an audition, I have this like anxiety and I'm like, oh my God, it's coming, it's coming. But I didn't feel that at all yesterday. Like I was just pumped. I was just like, okay, cool. I have this call with my friend. And I think that that's what's so unique about your coaching is just that air that you bring to it. Mm-hmm. And you're just picking so much from other places and seeing what works for you and what works for the people around you. So it doesn't feel heavy, but you still get so much from it because I don't know, I guess it's like I allow myself to be more vulnerable because I feel comfortable so I can take more away.
Oh, you're welcome. That's what I live for. I literally live for that. Like that is everything to me because that's what I always wanted. Mm-hmm. And I like to think of it. It's like, think of me as like that. Somebody's like cool older brother that's going to help you with something. You know what I mean? Or like I'm a coach, but I'm not like all grizzled on the sidelines, like throwing papers at people. And one of my favorite movies, and we'll talk about more about this after, is the Mighty Ducks series. I grew up with that. And in the second Mighty Ducks movie, it's like, you know, when you have like this series of movies and a character kind of loses their way and they're not who they used to be and they have to learn to come back. And like Emilio Estevez's character, Gordon Bombay, like he just like puts on a suit. He's coaching this like junior hockey team at the World Championships and he like slicks his hair and he puts on a suit. He's like yelling at people and shit. But yeah, I did not want to become that. Mm. I was like, I didn't want to become like the villain in my own story. And there's a great quote from my favorite movie of all time, The Dark Knight, which is, ooh, you can either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Olivia almost finished that quote for me.
Yeah, so I was like, let him finish it. That got me excited because I enjoy that movie as well.
This like military school style of like conservatory training. And I don't want to group that all under one thing, but I have this concept that I talk about. These concepts, I call them spaces. So I will always say acting is not binary. And many people will have you think that it is. It's this. It's memory. No, it's substitution. Memory's bad. Somebody literally posted a comment like that on a TikTok today. It was like, but my teacher told me if I use memory, it can be traumatic. And I'm like, yeah, in certain cases. But I literally quoted you too. I'm like, don't the actors look like they're having fun because they're remembering their high school experience? So it's like this. And then she's like, oh, but my teacher told me that.
Right. And that's something that there's like such a gray area in that too. Like it doesn't have to be so literal. Like, yes, use your memory. But if it's harmful to you, don't. That's why it's called acting. You can make up a memory. You could make up a scenario. But yes, if the memory isn't harmful to your mental health, do access it. But if it is, try something else.
I see acting as skill based. Mm-hmm. So where this entire sort of my love of coaching and the approach that I take. And what I was saying is I have these concepts called spaces instead of they're like rigid concepts, like it's imagination or it's memory or it's eyelines or it's tone or it's playfulness. It's like, these are all spaces, mm-hmm, which are very fluid, where they're not 100% defined yet. And there's like new ways to describe them every single day. So I kind of think of technique on a space. So, you know, like, it's really fun to think about this, like, you know, the whole like Stanislavski and the Adler and Meisner and Strasberg and all the, you know, the wings of the people, uh-huh, who split off and the opposing camps of training. And it can be very dogmatic. And, you know, I train a lot of actors that come from these different approaches. I've studied some of these approaches. And I think that all that technique sort of exists on a space. And think of like a space, almost like a big triangle or something like that. Okay, mm-hmm, if you can visualize, if our listeners can visualize. And like one corner of the equilateral triangle, let's say, is old school. And old school would be like any of these like 100-year-old sort of approaches to acting, which have stood the test of time. I don't want to say old school is bad. Old school, it's the foundation of everything. Mm-hmm. And then at the, you know, maybe the right side of the triangle on the bottom, we have new school. And that is maybe people who have adapted some of those older techniques, or maybe people who have kind of like moved away from it and like are trying to be maybe a little more contrarian about it, or completely abandoning any of that stuff from traditional techniques. And then at the top of that area, that triangle, would be no school. And that would be like people who don't study at
no
all.
School.
And you have exactly no school.
Club. Another club.
Yeah. Just love it. Everything. Like no breakfast, like only keto, like no carb, like everything.
You know? Yeah.
And no school, it would be like Bryan Cranston, Jennifer Lawrence, Angus Cloud, like people who like are not formally trained, mm-hmm. but then get coaching and things like that too. And I like to think I kind of exist closer to that no school, but I don't reject concepts and theory and anything that anyone has learned as an actor or anything that they use. And I don't say like, if it works, it works, because I don't think it's going to work forever. If it works right now, use it. But the biggest thing that I say, I repeat it to myself. Mm-hmm. I fall asleep saying this. I wake up saying this. Evolve the craft. We
it's
need to evolve
evolving.
The craft. Exactly.
Just and I like think that script. Your classes,
totally.
Just like the script.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that your classes and just like private coachings completely like perfectly reflect what you're saying, because there's a lot of times like I've done the same thing, like hopping around to different classes, studying at different studios, different techniques, all of the blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes you do have instructors say like, no, that's wrong. You know, you try a technique and they say, no, you can't do that because of X, Y, Z. No, don't call it that because of X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
So I feel like that whole like picking and choosing of what works for you is so important, because there really is no right
there's
or
no
wrong
right
per
totally.
Se. Yeah.
It's art. There
yeah.
is no
it's what
absolute
works for
in
you.
Art.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no like, if you're saying it's wrong or right, then you're thinking in binaries.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I think it takes forever for actors to realize that. And I just like, I want to be that guy that helps people realize that and unlock that thing they already know deep down much earlier in their careers, earlier than I was able to. Because I had to kind of like, you know, I made mistakes.
Right.
We all have to make mistakes, but I made a ton of mistakes with my training approach, culminating in spending like $300 on a coach for an audition once. For HBO, and my reps were the one who told me to go coach with this coach. This was many years ago. And I coached and I taped it and I sent it to my reps. And they're like, you need to retape this. The whole thing looks forced. And I was like, but this is like the coach that you
but
told
$300.
Me.
$300.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. But no, I think that that's really great, because we really align there. Like the both of us, I feel like we started our platforms from similar places of wanting to help people not make the mistakes that we made, and just or that we're still making here and there, because bitch, I spent like $1,500 on headshots just last year. But I think that that's so admirable of, you know, you were saying, oh, I would have had an unselfish reason for saying I started coaching. But all in all, like, I think that that's the most admirable of like wanting to help people and not wanting to continue to like, not to use buzzwords, but like gatekeep information in the industry.
And I actually discovered that I went into coaching and what I at the time was calling teaching, but I don't consider myself a teacher anymore. I like to make that distinction of coaching versus teaching. And I think of, you know, this is just my opinion, but I think like a teacher is someone who maybe passes along institutionalized knowledge a little bit more readily than a coach who uses practically gained knowledge. Like, you can't have a boxing coach or a basketball coach or, you know, hockey coach or whatever, soccer coach, like, who hasn't been in the game to some degree. They can't just have done book learning and read a bunch of kinesiology textbooks and all of a sudden they're like an Olympic weightlifting coach or something like that. Most of those people from those worlds, and like someone who's a music teacher, like who's like a tutor, or like someone who like is a singing teacher or whatever, like if they're like at some Royal Academy, then they might not have ever actually done that. And you don't have to have been in the game to be a teacher, but I think to be a coach, maybe.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm coming
from. I definitely think coaching does come with experience. And that's how you're able to build that knowledge. Now, a lot of our listeners are coming from different, I feel like, the different parts of their acting career. So we have probably beginners that listen to this, and even on our TikTok, people that are well seasoned, but people that are probably just getting into acting. So can you share with us a little how you got into just where your love for acting came from, but also how you got into acting, and maybe somebody listening can take away from that, because you didn't just become a series regular, right? So if you can just share some of that, I feel like that can be inspiring for some of our listeners to hear your story.
My acting story is hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was that kid. I wasn't a drama kid, but I was a class clown. Okay. Traditional Indian parents immigrated to Canada in the early 80s. They wanted me, you know, whole doctor, lawyer, engineer. If you ever hear anyone say that, that is like a true experience for like a lot of like South Asian and East Asian people. I don't want to speak for other people, but it's like almost everyone I know has experienced that. I took like media arts and things like that. And I was the guy who would make films. I'd make a video for like everything in high school, like an English presentation. I remember I did a book report in 10th grade, and it was, everyone chose like Catcher in the Rye and like all this stuff. I chose Patriot Games, the Tom Clancy novel that was made into a Harrison Ford movie. And that still to this day is like one of my favorite books.
God.
And I was like, I did that. And then I made a video of me like as a spy and like all this kind of stuff. And I just would like charm people and win them over with my idiocy. But I was also like a really good math and science student. So they couldn't like hold, I could do the work. I could do that. But my heart was in like making media, making content. So
I sounds remember, a lot like me it. In high school. Honestly, I was
I
like,
with that.
I like tested out of math by like my sophomore year. I was in like AP chemistry. I wanted to go to college for chemistry. I was choosing between chemistry and musical theater.
Wow. Wow.
And yeah, so very funny. But yeah, my heart was in the arts. What can I say?
I feel that for sure. And I didn't go into it. I went into engineering. And even though I had won like numerous like film awards for like student films that I was making in like 11th grade and 12th grade. And we talked about this yesterday. I'm not used to saying like junior and senior year and stuff. Like I never say that because I'm Canadian. In fact, we don't even say like 11th or we say like grade 9 and
grade 9. And stuff like that. I watched Degrassi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Learned that yesterday.
Yeah, it's like a dead giveaway. It's not the Sorries and the Abotes and stuff. It's the grade 9s. And
Yeah.
But my parents were like, I was like, I want to go to film school. Can I go to film school? And they like immediately shut it down. They're like my biggest fan right now. And I have a younger brother who's also an actor. We have one, my sister is a doctor. So it's like they wanted literally doctor, lawyer, engineer. And I was going to be the engineer. My brother was going to be the lawyer. Like he was pre-law. And then we both became actors. And my sister was the only one who like made it through that stream.
Right.
She loves what she does. So I ended up going into engineering for a year and I was like super miserable, made some of the best friends of my life that I'm still in touch with. And that most of them are like, aren't engineers anymore. They're all like in business and stuff. But I started taking acting classes and workshops and stuff at like university while I was studying engineering. And then I kind of like minored my way into like some cinema type of stuff. And then I switched out of like, I told my parents, I was like, my dream is, I was like, there's no way that they're going to let me be an actor, even in university. So I was like, I formulated this crazy lie where I'm like, my dream is to be an accountant and I need to switch to another school. And then I was like, please, I need to be like a chartered professional accountant. And I was like, I was acting my ass off over here.
Yeah.
And they actually, they like, God bless them, they believed me. And they were like crushed too. My dad was like, my dad's an engineer and he was like crushed by that. And now he like is like my biggest fan. He's like constantly, he will comment, he will follow you and he will comment on Instagram. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of like claps and hearts and stuff.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Shout out to your dad.
But yeah, like, so I started taking more of these classes and stuff. And then I was going out for like student films and short films and web series. And then I started shooting my own because I was like, the filmmaking side of it was what I wanted to do first. But because I had like put myself in my own movies, and I'm hoping like some of the listeners are like, oh yeah, I kind of like got that acting bug like from shooting a video, like a sketch or a skit or something like that. That's how I fell in love with acting, is like having to put myself in my, you see that reaction you just had? Oh, like that's how I got away with all the shit that I did.
Yeah.
Right? That's my thing. Right?
So, it's the charm. Yeah.
This is the funny part. This is the twist, is that I was literally working as an actor on TV and my parents didn't even know. For 3 years.
That's so
insane. From second to fourth year university, I was like playing recurring roles. I was on the show. I was.
You're like Hannah Montana.
Totally. I was
seriously double life.
The Canadian Hannah Montana.
Totally. And that actually, Miley Cyrus's coach was one of my early acting teachers.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Casual.
But yeah, like I would keep it a secret. I was like a lead on like some educational kids series, and then like Disney Channel had this offshoot called Disney XD, which was like, more like action, adventure, comedy kind of series and stuff. And I was a recurring character on a show called Aaron Stone. And then I booked this show called Unnatural History on Cartoon Network. And like, I was like into my 20s and still like having this lie with my parents. Kids out there, do not lie to your parents about this. It will come back and haunt you. My parents found out. My parents found out because someone in our like Indian community, like, and we call them aunties and uncles. They're not related to us, but they're just like, you know, lots of cultures have this. Mm-hmm. And one of these like random aunties was like flipping through a channel and then like saw me on TV, recognized me, and called my mom and is like, "Do you know what your son is doing?"
Oh my God. Yeah. I love that. Like, usually it's like for drugs or something actually bad, but he's an artist.
He's just on TV.
Like, what? Like,
worse.
I know.
Like, any other thing they could have.
Oh my gosh.
I was like in a bizarro universe. And like, yeah, I had a almost like a falling out with my parents and stuff. Oh. And I had to like, it's like kind of went on strike, like in solidarity with our, you know, WGA and SAG-AFTRA brothers and sisters and stuff. Like, I was like, I'm not like, these are my demands. Like, this is who I am. This is what I need you to understand. I can't live my life unless these terms are, I'm a fully grown adult. Right. And then they're like, why are you doing this to me? And all this kind of stuff. But like, love prevails, like happy ending. Like, we eventually kind of like, you know, reconciled. And then I wrote a comedy pilot about it and won a WGC award for it and pitched it around different networks and got it optioned and stuff. And that pilot, writing that pilot actually helped me end up landing a series regular.
What?
Like years later.
Damn.
So full circle.
Full circle.
Like they say, good work gets work. So good for you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And it's true. That is he is a living sentiment to that. Yeah.
I told you it was a funny story.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. I'm glad that everybody like came around in the end, and like your parents are like huge supporters of you now. Because I know how important that is.
The pilot that I wrote is called Can Do Attitude, and it's about a guy who is an accountant for the family business, and his business is going under because his heart's not in it. And so his dream is not to be an actor, but in this story is to be a talent agent. So he like secretly pursues talent agenting, and he actually signs like an old friend of his who's like now famous. And then the accounting business goes under. And then the parents, instead of like disowning their son, actually force their way into the talent agency. So it's like the pitch, the one line was like, the only thing worse than your immigrant parents forcing you to do something you don't want to do is having them become part of your dream.
Oh, yes, that's amazing.
Yeah, so you can imagine that pitch was like really fun to do. And like, being, I'm one of those guys who's like good in a room, but I coach a lot of people who think they have to be that, you know, all this stuff with slates.
Like,
and,
I feel like,
have you felt that, both of you, especially as women? Like,
for
having
sure.
to like be good and like on your in your slate and like in a be bubbly or whatever. Like, I can't speak for your experience. I'm curious. I want to know.
I'm not insecure. That's not the right word, but like something similar to that when it comes to presenting myself authentically. I'm almost like, do you mean that? Like, do you really want me to be authentic right now? Or are you telling me or do you want me to be like the masked version of like authentic? So I struggle with that just like on the daily. So when it comes to like being in the room and doing those slates, I often, struggle a lot with how much of me do you really want to see, and how much of like the presentation do you want? Like, I'll almost do more takes of my slate than I do of the actual scene, because I'm like, hi, my name's, I'm like, why am I talking like that? And then I'm like, hi, and I'm like, oh shit, why am I doing that? So I do get a lot of stress around that.
You two are not ready for me to interview you, right? So like, that's why you're like,
Well, No, I was trying to like think, like, do I feel that way?
Or
no,
like when I went in the room, or like if you're on a live Zoom, like, do you feel like you have to be like on or anything like that?
Definitely,
or, like,
you have to be on because I want to be likable, right? Like, so when you go into a room before your audition, it's like the audition starts right when you walk in, right? So I want, you know, them to be able to, like, I want to be personable. I want them to want to be on a set with me all day. Like, I think of these things. I want them to enjoy my personality. But then when it comes to slating, I'm very just like, anytime I slate, I'm just like, who is this character? And I try to slate as close to the character, not Olivia, so much so. Like, and I don't know if that's doing it wrong or right, but like,
I don't think there's a right or wrong way, honestly.
But like, you know, when they say, like, if you're going in for example, like a murderer, I'm not gonna be like, hi, my name's Olivia Roldan, I'm blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not gonna go in and be preppy, right? But I may go in and maybe try to be a little bit more like, have a little bit more edge to me. Not completely deadpan, but have edge. Yeah.
What if the thing you think you're not supposed to do is the thing that makes you look like a murderer? The thing where you're all of a sudden,
too nice.
You do a scene and you're like talking to the cops and you're like, yeah, I didn't kill nobody. Just to like throw. And then afterwards you're like, hey y'all, I'm Olivia Roldan. And I'm gonna, and then they're like, she is psycho.
She's insane.
Yeah. Like, what if that doesn't, that's like how I approach acting now. It's like, I call it like a rock star mentality. It's like a renegade rock. It's like the thing, everything you think your first instinct is like, and then you suppress it. It's worth trying now because you can self-tape. And even in live Zooms and stuff, like, I'm somebody who's like, I would go in the room, I crack jokes, do all this kind of stuff. And then I would like use up all my energy doing that. Hey, what's the deal with that waiting room? Blah, 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 blah. And you know what I mean? And then it felt like it was like too much of a switch for me to like drop into like some kind of a dramatic, lower emotional space thing. So now I do, like, in recent years, I've done the opposite. Like, I will just be like completely dead. I'll come into a Zoom. I did this one for Hulu, like a callback where I just like went in on, and there was like 10 people in the Zoom, like big producers and stuff. And I was like, hey, what's up, everybody? Who's reading with me? Jennifer, cool. What's up, Jennifer? Can I pin you? Yeah, okay. And then I'm like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk in. And then I'm like off camera. And then I like leaned in and I'm like, anybody going to say action? Or should I call it? You know? Shit. And then and then I come into the scene.
Yeah.
Because instead of moving towards that, remember we talked about this like expression space. So like another one of my space concepts is like how much you express yourself can be on this sort of spectrum or space. And on the right end is full expression. Then you go a little bit left, you've got partial expression. Then you've got suppression. And then on the really far left, you've got repression. So it's like you do something for so long, you're going to like end up actually repressing your natural tendencies and instincts. And I'm all about breaking that even in my own work. So that's literally like what I'm doing with my actors.
You really are, because I feel like every time I've worked with you, it's always been like, oh, that? Oh, no, do the opposite and like switching it up. Mm. And I agree. Like, it really does like unlock something else doing the exact opposite of what you think you're supposed to do, because it feels weird, it feels like uncomfortable, but then you like find little nuanced things that are just very like authentic to real life. I feel
it's almost like what you wish you could have, like, I'm more encourages you to take the risks that you're worried you're like not ready to fully accept yet, as like, oh, this just feels too risky for you, but I can help you conceptualize and rationalize it. I can help you with exercises that make you more comfortable like that. It's almost like if you have a personal trainer and you're like, yeah, I really want to be able to like back squat or something like that. And then they're like, but you're like, but if I put a barbell on my back, it might like, I might fall over and it might like hit me in the head or something like that. And they're like, they're there going like, listen, I can see your like anthropometry or whatever the word is, like, let's start with just the bar. It looks like you're, you know, let's add a little bit of weight or whatever. And you're like, I'm helping you take that risk that you think is a risk, but like really might not even be a risk.
Right.
You know, it's just from your own point of view that it is. And I just have that like perspective, that different perspective. And I'm approaching it that way. I'm not approaching it like I'm going to tell you what to do. In fact, that's my gripe. Like, I want to talk about like yellow flags and red flags with teachers and coaches. I don't want to put everyone on blast, but it's like my whole thing is like, I'm literally trying to do the opposite as a coach of like what most other people are doing, or like the things that didn't work for me and that people can come to me and are like, yeah, but like, oh man, I just really feel like every time I try to do this, it makes me feel this way. And I'm like, did you ever want to do that? And they're like, not really. I'm like, what did you want to do? Bix, you remember you were like, yeah, like, thank you for
I was like, bitch, I wanted to do that.
Yeah.
You're like, why can't I shoot an underwater self-tape if I want to?
One day I will. Yeah. One day I will.
Oh my God.
No, but it is true. Like, I like that you brought that up about the like whole like workout class, like barbell thing, because I really do feel like you have a very unique approach with your like exercises, techniques, the format of your class. Mm-hmm. It feels like it doesn't feel like going to an acting class and like working a script and analyzing a script. It feels like a workout. It's like a workout, like we're constantly moving. We're constantly like rearranging the camera, like getting cool shots, like doing all these different things that you wouldn't expect going like when you hear acting class. Like most of the time in an acting class, you're sitting down, looking at the script, talking, like throwing ideas at each other. But this really does feel like a full like mind and body workout. Mm-hmm. So I would love if you could maybe like share with our listeners like a couple of the exercises that you do in your classes that you think are maybe the most effective or just one that you are the most excited to chat about.
Yeah, for sure. I love that you said that. I see it as an exercise-based approach. So how I the sort of approach to acting, I like to call the acting skill set approach. Mm-hmm. So because of that, it's not a technique, it's not a method, it's not a system. It's just an approach to acting. It's just because that, and that signifies to me that there are other approaches. Like not the method, you know what I mean? It's like in that sort of thing. It's like, yeah, there's so many different approaches. This is a skill set based approach. So what that kind of posits or hypothesizes is that actors require a certain number of skill sets, a certain number of skills in a skill set to be screen actors. And some of those things are like understanding scenes, interpreting them, playing multiple eye lines, memorizing quickly, listening, observing, being in the moment, having spatial awareness, using memories and substitution, taking direction and sensing the camera, making offers on set and blocking and adapting to script revisions, like playing with emotion. I could go on forever. Like you just have a million, there's a million different skills you need as an actor. Mm-hmm. And I literally just target those skills right away. So it's like, okay, you want to be able to punch, take a boxing. Okay. You want to be able to punch? Well, you need to be able to hold your hands up. You need to be able to position your feet. You need rotation of your trunk. You need to be able to like move your head and bend at your knees and stuff like that. So let's work on all of those things individually and then start combining them. So that's kind of the approach. So some of the early exercises that I'll get people to do, and I've encouraged even both of you, like, oh, if you're just like doing a self-tape, like a lot of my actors are like, oh yeah, I just work through like the basic exercises first. Yeah. Some of which like I might do in a beginner class with some people, but it would be like playing the scene, like reading the scene completely flat is like an incredibly important exercise. I call it disassociation from like your interpretation, your cerebral interpretation of the meaning of the words. And Liv, in our last coaching, I had Liv moving in a figure eight pattern backwards, saying her lines alternatively loud and quiet and flat, like so that she would completely disassociate the meaning from that. And then like one take later, she's screaming and crying and like she's like in this, it's like an out-of-body experience almost because you've taken like your brain, like the cerebral like interpretation out of it and it becomes visceral. So playing the scene in different ways and actually treating it not like a scene. I love to use the actual dialogue like in a script because that's what you're gonna have to do as an actor. You're like almost always going to be given a script. Sometimes I do a lot of improvisation work in class and I call it dramatic improvisation because people are like, should I improv? But I'm not funny. And I'm like, that's improv comedy.
Right.
You don't have to be funny. You just got to be real. Say what's really on your mind. And like in dramatic improvisation, you know, like comedy improv, you have yes and.
Yes.
With dramatic improvisation, you have no and yes, but. So somebody goes, if we're doing like improv comedy, so this is also another exercise. Take some of the dialogue in the script and yes, and like start improvising with it. Like, so somebody says something and then you like, you just yes and it. So somebody goes in the scene, it's like, you can't park your car here. And so you go and you stop, you don't say any of the other lines and you add in a yes and, okay? And you go, oh, okay. That means like, I agree. Like I'm accepting that. So can I park my monster truck though? And you're like anding, and they're like, yeah, sure, you can park your monster truck here. And it's like, I just need some help. It's like, I'll help you. And it just like becomes this like ridiculous thing because it's, right. this, you know, yeah, there's some grounded versions of it, long form and things like that too. But dramatic improvisation is like no and or yes, but. So you can straight up disagree as much as you want. In fact, that's what creates a lot of conflict. So going through like playing the scene and stopping on certain moments and saying a line that you think would be agreeing with that person and adding to it, or like acknowledging what they're saying and adding something to it, like that monster truck example, which is really stupid. Or they go, you can't park your car here. And you're like, yes, I can. And I'm going to leave it here forever. What are you going to do about it? Do you see what I mean? So that's like, yeah. yes, I can is like, no. And I'm never going to move that bitch. You see what I mean? It's like completely reframing. That's a little more advanced. I would say like, for people who are like super beginning, playing the scenes different ways, like really, really fast. I love getting people, I call it chasing the words. You immediately start like stressing and like you go into this like, I mean, you two have done it. Like what, how does it feel when I'm like faster, just like throw in ums and uhs and buts, and I call them filler words or connected words. Like learning to do that and like learning to save yourself in the performance by just being able to like try to chase and grab at the words. That's an important skill. Asking each other, what do you mean? And then immediately putting in your own words, but like not doing it on the page, because that's cerebral, doing it viscerally.
And you know what's funny? I have been doing that, but I think I've been doing it differently. Like that meaning when turning things into like your own words, putting things in your own words. So when I actually auditioned for The Squatchers, which is a film that didn't come out, but and I had the script for each scene in this like over 100 pages, next to each line, I put what, like my interpretation of it, like why I was saying that, but also just like, I changed the dialogue. It was what I was actually saying. So it's just funny that I'm doing these exercises, but I don't realize I'm doing them because I think I'm just doing them a different way. But the way you were making me do it in the self-tape, which you made me walk in like this figure eight. Mm-hmm. And I think that the line was, so how do you feel about surprises? And I'm like, and then you were like, no, Olivia, how do you feel about surprises? I'm like, I like them. You're like, why do you like them? And then like, we kind of went into this like whole thing.
Yeah.
When I said the line, it created this like, I don't know, something clicked. Where even though I like them and the line was like, but I can't really do it, but I like them. So it was like contrasting, but that brought like colors to it. But I just think that's interesting that I have kind of been doing that approach, but not realizing I was doing that, but doing it in that way, I found very effective in a way that's where I wasn't consciously doing it.
That makes total sense. So a lot of the stuff that I'm getting my actors to do is I'm having them do it subconsciously, not consciously. Right. So or I'm having them do it viscerally rather than cerebrally. So if you think of a space, again, like a spectrum, like far left, far right kind of deal. On one end, you have a cerebral way of approaching like scripts or characters or just anything, like even being present or any of that, just conceptualizing stuff. That would be very like intellectual, analytical, logical, methodical. I consider that to be passive and conscious. So you're making passive choices and they become part of a plan. So you have these like ideas. So I think it's great. Like put it in your own words. But then I would argue the words you think of as your own words when you're conceptualizing the day before, week before, month before, year before are not your actual words on the day in that moment because you have changed or you have accessed something. So we were chatting and I was like, you were saying all this stuff like that you had conceptualized and you touched on certain things. Remember the character's a bit younger and you were talking about you in high school. You were like, this is so funny because like, I kind of like got into, you know, I don't want to say anything, but you were like, you wanted to say.
Oh, I don't mind. It's funny that the script was like that. I was with this older man and I think in high school, like I thought dating older guys was cool. So I
remember one of the older guys.
Yes, I know. That's a conversation for another time.
We had that little like you were like this kind of reminds me of that, and then when we did the exercise, you know, when you played the first pass of the scene, the character was saying something that made it seem like dating an older guy is like gonna be a serious problem.
Yes.
But then you had already told me just in passing and you were laughing about it how like I was like didn't think it was a problem at all. You know, and then
at that age you don't really, you just think,
and that's your true experience. So like I bank little things.
It's not cool, guys.
No, it's not.
Anybody young listening?
As a 17-year-old, I do not.
But yeah, I'm an older woman now, but at that age, I definitely had that mindset where I thought, oh, this is a good idea. Not that, saying I approve of that now, but that was a definitely different mindset.
And that mindset, high school, you it's still there with you, and you have an opinion about it now.
Yes.
And that opinion can create emotion and thought and other, and you know, and it can create behavior. Yeah. And that subconscious behavior can come out in the performance. So I had you moving in sort of a strange pattern, reading the lines with me. I was interrupting you and asking you, what do you mean on some of those lines? And you'd have to put it in your own words. And then sometimes I would say, how do you feel about it? And then I would say the character name, like, how do you feel about it, Christine? And then you would say it like the character. And I'd be like, no, how do you feel about it, Liv? And you're like, oh, I used to do this all the time. I loved it.
You're like, that's great.
Yeah, but, exactly. You're like, my parents would be mad at me. And then you're like, oh, my parents wouldn't even know. And then you're laughing about it.
Yeah.
And then we use that in the scene. Like it was there. You didn't consciously use it in the scene. It was in your muscle memory. That's a huge concept I want to touch on. Muscle memory.
I loved that because then when we went into the scene and we recorded it, the line was like, you were like, how do you feel about surprises? And I'm not sure if you did that, but like you kind of enunciated like, how do you feel about surprises? In my head, I like immediately just thought you were asking me, which obviously I knew you weren't, but it felt like you were asking Olivia, how does Olivia feel? So even though I wanted to say, oh, I love surprises, that smile came across my face, but I was saying something else. So I was smiling, but I was like, I can't like, but like I... So created all this color.
There's complexity. Like, I love it was that you're like, calling it color. That's great.
There was complexity, yes.
Yeah, that there's layers there. There's layers. It's like, it's subtext. That's what subtext is. And I think people maybe approach subtext in too much of a cerebral way where it's like, okay, I'm going to think one thing and say another, but really they can't help but think the thing they're saying. And like, what's not, it's not really coming across. Like, and people go, well, it shouldn't come across. It's just for you, the actor. And yeah, there's truth to that too. But I think like, doing things actively versus passively. And I call it active scene interpretation. So instead of text analysis, I don't use text analysis or scene analysis. I separate it into understanding and interpretation. Okay. So an easy acronym to remember is GUTS, G-U-T-S. Just think of it, gain understanding, tell story. That's all you have to do as an actor. If you can boil it down to just the guts of acting is like gain an understanding, whatever that means to you. And I think some people maybe go too deep into what they consider an understanding. Mm-hmm. I think an understanding is more like literal and like the given circumstances, so to speak, not including the part of telling the story includes parts of you. It includes the characters' like feelings, their relationship as it's unfolding, the energy between the actors. Those things, I think, are all open to interpretation until you get direction that pulls you in another place or maybe even deeper into it. You know, people are always worried they're going to get like this direction. Like, I just need to get ahead. I think a lot of actors want to get ahead of direction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but like, they're just going to tell me. I see these comments on TikTok all the time. But yeah, but like, you know, I'll post a TikTok like encouraging people to make like in the moment spontaneous choices like that. They're not really even choices. It's like a quote that I made up. I hope I made this up. Is the most interesting choice you'll ever make is the one you don't even know you're making.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds like somebody else said it, but they didn't. It was me. Yeah. And it has that sort of sound to it. And like, that'll be on my tombstone. Okay. Not normally, but so that like when I encourage people like, yeah, don't just like erase your idea of like what this scene is and let it unfold, but put stuff in your muscle memory about the character. Don't just wing it. Put stuff in your muscle memory about the character, about their life, but do it viscerally. Talk to another person, improvise with them, call each other up, have a Zoom call. On the next project, like Vix, you just booked and you just shot, on your next booking, either of you, call each other up and literally improvise the scene before and after. Play the scene, stop in the middle of the scene and go, why did you just say that to me? What are you hiding? Or don't forget that we grew up together, and then continue the scene. And you'll be like, it's kind of like what we were doing yesterday in class. I was like, hey, why so serious? Like, don't you two have like this hilarious history with each other?
Yeah, yeah,
you know, all this stuff. And then we did some exercises where you actually acknowledge that in the middle of the scene. It brought up feelings and your essence came out more. It was in your muscle memory. Then when we play the scene again, you have other places your body can take you.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's like super important to bring up for actors, because outside of like classes or if you're in school, mm-hmm. you're not gonna have anybody forcing you to do anything. Like me and Liv coming from like theater backgrounds, we had rehearsals. Like we had shit tons of rehearsals going over the scenes constantly. But like a lot of the time in film TV, you don't always get the option of a rehearsal. You don't get anybody forcing you to go to rehearsal sometimes. And even this project that I did just a couple weeks ago, we didn't have rehearsals. We just showed up on the day, did the scene, and like that's how it went. So it is important as an actor to like take that accountability onto yourself and do that extra work, not just show up. Because there were a lot of, I mean, I can't give too much information, but like I didn't have too much of like a juicy character to like really work with. But there were some scenes that I would show up on the day and like I've read them over, I've worked on them, but then I shot them and felt, damn, I really wish like I had the opportunity to work with this actor before we shot. Mm-hmm. And the only person's fault that is my own for not going, like taking that extra step and being like, hey, like, can I call you? Can we FaceTime? Can we do this?
Right.
So yeah, I think it's important to let actors know that you are like, you are in control and you can do what you gotta do. And it's not like just magically going to happen on the day with the director in front of you.
Right. You might get nothing. Yeah. That's like the biggest lesson to take. I would say assume the worst, mm-hmm. you know, and just being a realist over here, like assume you're not going to get any rehearsal, assume. And then a lot of people will do that. They'll assume that and they'll be like, okay, then I need to do a ton of homework. No, it's like, assume that you're literally, okay, you're a soccer player. Assume the World Cup is like at 6 p.m. today.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you going to be like, I need to hit the gym for the next 7 hours, bro? And you're just going to like tear yourself apart. Like, right. You can't learn. You can't get it all back that quickly and you can't figure it all out. It's not homework. It's art. It's not science or math. You can't math it. Right. So there's the business side of it where you can track your auditions and do all that kind of stuff. And that's where like I encourage actors to like use your like math and science brain to like track your auditions and email your agent and follow up and like make sure your contracts are signed and make sure you read them and like use that and then let it go in your art in a way, not in the way that they all tell you to let it go, because they tell you to do a ton of homework and then let it go. Mm-hmm. Do the training, do the work. And that can be on your own too. Like, you know, you're not going to be able to necessarily impose and rehearsal or even call up another, like assume that they're going to be like, that's not my process. I'd rather just show up.
Right.
So call up each other, your other actor friends, and then play the scenes with them, but play it 100 million different ways. Do exercises with them. And then what happens is, you know, some might argue, oh, but like now I'm making preconceived choices. I'm like, actually, you're putting all like an incredible number of possibilities in your muscle memory. You also are like forming connections with other actors with this material. Then when you play with the actual actor on the day, you have this like expectation. And then they, every time they go against it, it creates complexity. You're like, oh, but my, like when I played this scene and did an exercise with Liv, is like, I did this with Vix. And then I have to go shoot with this girl, Rachel. And she was like completely different. Her energy was like, she was like antagonizing me in the scene, but Vix was like really funny. And like, now I have all these new emotions coming up and our energy and stuff is contrasting because my expectations, I wasn't spending all this time trying to figure out how are you going to play the scene and how can I get ahead of you?
Right.
So you can, take it into your own hands. And like, I'm always encouraging, like we have a Discord group at the studio, at the Online Actor. And I'm like, actors are in there going like, who wants to like just play a scene today? Who wants to just run lines? Who wants to like do some class exercises? Like, keep that instrument tuned. Yes. Keep it to your instrument. Yes. You're the only one who can play it, right? You can't, like, someone else, can you, like, unless they puppet you, like, you're the instrument, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of
thing is, like, you will become a puppet if it's, like, an AI version of you. That's a story for another day, but yeah.
Scary. No, I was just going to say, like, that's totally true. Like, I feel like a lot of actors may conflate the idea of what direction and coaching and classes is. And sometimes people go in hoping to be a puppet and hoping to be told what to do. And yeah, it's like important to just understand that like you're the one in control of your artistry, and only people are only there to like help create the vision, but you can't expect to be puppeteered, and you shouldn't like want that either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's like saying, I can do anything you want. Just tell me what you want and I'll do it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we can get anyone to do that. We can get an AD, we can get a PA to do that. Right. You can get AI to do that, God forbid, right? So that's where I'm getting with that. It's like, what do you want to do? But not also, what do you think you want to do? What do you want to do when challenged in that exact moment in the scene, in the moment? ITM. I go to wake up and I go to sleep and ITM, you know? And develop your skill set as an actor. All those million things I was talking about that actors need to be able to do. They need to be able to take at least four. I've identified 14 different types of direction that directors might not even know are different types of direction. You have some directors that are like, go again, just give me more anger. Another one's like, she is trying to make you laugh and you don't want her to. So the first one was a feeling. The second one was a tactic. Then someone else is like, let's go darker, lighten it up. Those are, I call, emotional spaces. Someone else goes, same, let's go again, same, different. You're like, what's same, different? It's like, it's kind of the same thing, but like you have a little bit of freedom, right? They're like, okay, let's go back to ones, live and Vix back to ones. And then you're like, same, different, same. Let's match, right? And do you see there's all these like different types of direction? Sometimes you get no direction. That's a type of direction.
Yeah.
Right? Going again, back to ones. And you're like, why? Okay. Yeah, why? Okay, I guess I'll just, and then your muscle memory sort of, and that's where you're like, okay, maybe I'll mix it up. What's going on with, what's that look on her face? Like, what's going on in my head right now? What am I feeling? And that's like when you really get into the thick of it and when you're working as an actor a lot, and this is something I just want to impart, is like you will just keep learning from experience that what you have, what most people have been taught from books is just not going to reflect when you're on set. It's just not. So so like you have so much control. You can work on so many of your acting skills in classes, on your own, with your colleagues and all that kind of stuff. That would be like my best advice for like a beginner actor, is like, know that you actually, as someone who is a human being, who regularly communicates with other people, you feel things, you dream, you have wants, you grow up, you evolve, you have memories, you imagine things, you have an opinion and beliefs about the world. You already have all the things that make up a character, but you just need to develop the skill set to convey it in front of a camera. That's what I see it as.
I love that. That is some pristine knowledge for everybody out there. And you're right. Like it's so much more interesting and compelling and like emotionally erupting to watch actual experiences happen and not planned out beats and feelings and all of that like overdone stuff. So
it's like overcooked.
That's the
overcooked
word,
overcooked
versus raw. Vix, you were like, you know what, let's just go right into like mixing things up. I don't want to overcook anything. Right? And I'm like, those are my girls, like cooking raw, like the full spectrum, you know, like it's like you're now. And then every time you're asking me something, it's like you're getting my opinion on it, not asking me what to do. You see what I'm saying? It's like, and then ultimately on set, you'll have a director's opinion or you won't, or you'll ask for it or they won't, or they'll give it to you or whatever. And it's like, but you're the artist, you're in charge. Ultimately. And I think actually that's kind of like, and we can talk about this on another day, the secret to auditioning and self-taping, I think, is to approach it that way, is to approach it like, okay, so instead of trying to cook up the perfect tape, why don't I just embrace the chaos of imperfection? Because I can shoot multiple takes, try different things, discover and explore, and then that will appear hopefully alive and spontaneous and real and authentic, and will overlap with some of the character in some degree. And hopefully it's like real enough and alive enough and entertaining and compelling enough that maybe you're selected for a callback. And then that's where direction and moving towards something else that you don't necessarily want to do at first or don't even think of, that's where that can come in. Whereas like everyone used to go into the room and expect casting, like they expected direction on the first audition. So they were going in there trying to like, okay, let me just like get as close as possible to what I think this is, so that if they direct me, it's not going to be that far away and I'll be able to do it. But now you don't have that. So you can do whatever you want.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying just do whatever you want and submit that. I'm saying do whatever you want and watch those tapes.
Yes.
And then figure out what looks the most real and authentic or heightened or whatever, if that's what it calls for, and what you like the best and what your reader thinks and what your coach thinks and what your other actor friends think and what your mom thinks, maybe not your mom, but you know, like get this, these like trusted opinions on your work, but ultimately you're in control. It's like your decision at the end of the day. But if you shoot 10 takes and they're all like minutely different, are you really in control? You know, you're kind of forced into this tunnel vision where you just like, I'll just pick the one that looked, and you end up picking the one where you look the best, or you think you come across the best, and the best
guilty.
Is like the cleanest.
Definitely have done that before.
I've done that for a decade, honestly. So don't feel bad.
Well, we obviously still have so much more to talk about with you. So thank you so much for joining us today. This was such an awesome chat. I hope everybody out there took away something. I did, so hopefully you did.
Yeah, Vass, thank you for imparting such knowledge on us. And I feel like, you know, you're so generous with the things you know and the things you've learned. And I'm hoping that our listeners, wherever you are in your career, there's something here that you can take away from, learn and implement in your everyday, in your acting career. So thank you so much again. We are so happy that you came on, and you're always welcome to come on the pod. But before we say bye to you, can you please let our listeners know where they can find you on social media? Anything that you want to plug in, this would be the time.
Oh, for sure. And thank you both. First of all, you're welcome. Second of all, thank you, right? Because I'm like I said, I got into it to figure out acting for myself, to understand it. And that's, I'm constantly trying to evolve my understanding of it. And every little thing we just talked about now, I'm going to be like simmering and pondering on it and ruminating on it and stuff too. So it's actually going to help me as much as it's helping anyone else. I appreciate you saying that. Yeah. And I would love listeners out there to check out theonlineactor.com. That's where you can find us. We're also called The OA, The Online Actor. And we regularly have like acting tips and stuff on TikTok and Instagram at The Online Actor, all one word. You can find us on social media. So check us out. We've got classes, we've got coaching from beginner level all the way to advanced mastery, all that kind of stuff.
Wonderful. Amazing. Thank you so much. And as you guys know, you can find us at ITM with Liv and Bix on our Instagram. Check out our TikTok at Liv and Bix. If you have anything that you're excited about that you heard from this episode or any questions that you have, please email us livandbix@gmail.com. And thank you so much for our listeners who tune in every 2 weeks to support us. We look forward to our next episode in another 2 weeks. And Vass, we have a signature goodbye, so you have to take part in it. So we just go, all right, bye. And it's elongated. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Born ready. That's why I'm
born ready.
We'll catch you guys in 2 weeks. All right. Bye. Thank you for tuning into The Moment with us.
Our amazing cover art is by @hyperjuice on Instagram.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at ITM with Liv and Vic.
Like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
Also, if you're feeling extra generous, we won't hate it if you rate and review. Bye! Bye.